Welcome to Simpler One Earth Living Podcast. I'm Jerry Iverson. Co-host Lee Van Ham is away. I'm pleased to be your host for Whose Birthday? Featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works signature publication, the annual Advent Christmas resource for individuals, families, and congregations. Whose birthday is it anyway? If you're new to this podcast and would like more information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. We have produced a real treasure trove of free audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes to the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what you spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthdays, etc., to local, national, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas, when consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas, and many more. Check out our extensive resource index. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Much of the Whose Birthday series is also available in Spanish text. Please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. This short series is different from the previous year's Whose Birthday podcast series, which, by the way, are still available on our site if you missed them or would like to hear them again. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview, Backup. In this episode, we present one part of an audio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have guests, both writers and voices, some well-known, some lesser-known. Links to the numerous references in this episode are in the show notes. I'll let you in on a little secret. All the episodes of this series are available at the simplelivingworks.org in the audio archives, so if you don't want to wait for each episode to be released in iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. See the link in the show notes. The topics for all the episodes in this series are listed in the show notes for each episode. The series comes from Whose Birthday Number 19, which is loosely based on Liturgical Cycle C, the Gospel of Luke, the same as this Advent and Christmas season. Note, this edition, unlike the previous ones, does not contain a daily calendar. However, there are some 20 to choose from in the archives.
My Handmade Advent Wreath by Amy Freichholm. One late November several years ago, my sister-in-law and I hunted in the woods near my house for the makings of an Advent wreath. We came home with an abundance that surprised me. 3 kinds of evergreen, the tiny red berries and sturdy leaves of kinnikinick, the faded color of rose hips, the delicate heads of cinquefoil blossoms, the graceful arch of juniper and berry. I had had no idea that our backyard could yield such winter variety. Last year, I returned to the same spot where my sister-in-law and I had made such a fruitful search. The snow was deep, and most of the bounty I had anticipated was buried. Even by digging, I couldn't find the kinnikinick. The blossoms and rose hips were crushed by the weight of the snow. In a driving wind, I collected reliable evergreens and their cones, but little else. During the pre-Christmas rush, our culture seems to ask us to feel nostalgia or anticipation. We try to recreate the past, or we imagine that a true Christmas feeling is just around the corner. In the prophets, we hear a different call. though they pointed people to the future, they first called them to honesty about the present. We carry their stark attention during Advent, when we try to stay awake in the here and now. The Advent wreath I produced last year was sparser, but as I wove it, I meditated on how even this simple act was teaching me both acceptance and attention. In the present, we can find both unexpected fullness and unwelcome emptiness. Both prepare us for the birth of the Holy into our very midst. Discussion questions. 1. Do you anticipate the Christmas spirit each year? Where do you search for the Christmas spirit? 2. Was there ever a time or situation when the spirit never came? What did you do? 3. What natural resources do you have to make your own Advent wreath? 4. Could you develop a family tradition of making, discussing, and using the wreath for Advent devotions? I Am a Recovering Christmas Hater by Jessica Stevens. As a kid, Christmas was full of magic and wonder. I was the first one to put presents under the tree, wind chimes from art class for Mom, bracelets made of dental floss and beads for my sister. We had traditions such as going to the firehouse my dad volunteered at to see Santa and get bags of peanuts and candy. I got to wear sparkly wings in the Christmas pageant. My brother was usually a shepherd or wise guy, as he liked to call it, and on one occasion my sister was quite convincing as baby Jesus. On Christmas Eve, all of Mom's brothers and sisters and their families would come over to our house. Grandpa brought his horses, and after dinner we would go for a hayride around our little Nevada desert town and thoroughly maim every Christmas carol. As I got older, the magic began to wear off. We moved to a state where we had no extended family. We didn't know what to do without family and traditions to fall back on. In our hearts, nothing could replace those large family Christmases. We ran into times when money was tight and buying presents became a burden. Receiving presents became a disappointment. Mom went into crisis over how to make Christmas meaningful. Do we have a tree or a manger? Buy presents or make them? It was in university that I finally decided I hated Christmas. My life operated according to the course syllabi and academic calendar. I also worked a part-time job. All time, money, and energy went to making it through school. In December, finals had to be written, dorm room cleaned out, and next semester paid for. I didn't have the time or energy to be cheerful or thoughtful in my celebration. Of course, I wanted Christmas to mean something, but only when I was ready for it. Christmas interrupted my life, cramped my style, or, as I liked to tell people, it's just not where I'm at in my life. It was my final and busiest year of university. Emotionally, I was not ready for Christmas. The coffee shop where I worked had exploded way too early, with every kitschy Christmas decoration known to humankind, and the most saccharine of holiday carols. It grated on every nerve for 2 months. Every eggnog latte was prepared with a side of disdain. While others had a sense of joy and expectation, I had a sense of impending doom. On the 24th of December, I worked a morning shift and was near tears as the time for me to go home approached. I felt like everything but celebrating. On the way out, a friend told me I could go to her house if I just couldn't deal. I hoped it wouldn't come to that. Mom made dinner. We went to a church service and went home. We each opened one present and went to bed. When I woke up on Christmas Day, a dog with antlers was in my face. He was happy because he was awake. Oh, how I envied him. Puffy-eyed, I shuffled out into the living room, where my youngest brother had already raided his stocking and was bouncing off the walls in anticipation of the sweet booty yet to be plundered. I played it cool, but not for long. 2 things stand out from that day. 2 things that turned me away from my Christmas-hating ways. 1, the present Mom gave me. She framed her very first painting of a human subject and placed it under the tree for me. I love this painting. From the first day I saw it, I knew my mom had done something great. I couldn't believe she wanted me to have it. I would never even dream to ask for it. It cost her little, but was priceless. She gave me a part of herself. This bit of grace shown to a dissatisfied punk kid was overwhelming. I've cried on Christmas before, but never out of gratitude. The second thing was something my dad arranged. Our Christmas dinner would not be eaten at home. Dad has a good friend that is also a member of the Lummi Nation, a tribe in Washington State. This friend needed some help getting Christmas meals to the elderly and shut-in on the reservation. Dad offered his family. We became solemn as we dumped green beans into large pans, sliced pumpkin pie, and stuffed roast turkeys into insulated bags. I looked around at the residents at the assisted living facility. Some residents had a few family members to eat with, but most quietly came down from their rooms. Occasionally, some people from the community that had nowhere else to go joined us. Scattered around the room and without much eye contact, they ate their holiday meal. I kept walking by the food baskets, waiting to go to the people that couldn't make it out of their homes, and tried to imagine how they would be received. That year, I found Christ in the grace of my mother's gift. I found the family Christmas I thought was left behind in the desert. We finally made our own tradition. Our family was again extended at Christmas, and for a little while, we became family to others. It was magic.
Strangers Invited In for Christmas by Millard Fuller. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Matthew 25. Several years ago at the Christmas season, my dear friend Jacob Battle called me on the phone. His tone was frantic. Millard, I was coming back to America's from Albany, and I saw a man and woman and three small children standing on the side of the road. I stopped to talk to them. They said they were homeless and had no place to stay. I took them to a nearby motel and arranged for their lodging, but I can't afford to keep them there. What can you do to help? The local Habitat for Humanity affiliate had recently acquired an old house. We'd started to fix it up, but the work was not complete. Christmas Day was only a week away, and many people had left for the holidays. All work was at a standstill until after Christmas. I called a family meeting. Linda and I told our children about the situation, and we asked if they would like to work on that old house to make it livable for the homeless family, so they would have a place for Christmas. Everyone enthusiastically agreed. We went to work. Our two youngest daughters, Faith and Georgia, were especially excited. They scraped off old paint from the walls, went to the store with Linda to help get paint and other supplies, and worked tirelessly all week long. Some days the work continued well into the night. Some friends also joined in to help out. Finally, it was Christmas Eve. Rugs were put down, lamps were bought and put on side tables, other furniture was purchased and moved in. A Christmas tree was donated by a family friend and set in place in the living room. Lights were strung on the tree and presents for the children bought and lovingly placed under the tree. The family was brought in. You could see the joy on the little faces of the children. And Mom and Dad were so happy, too. Christmas was so meaningful that year, not only for that family, but for our family, too. To this day, we remember that as one of our best Christmases ever. Millard Fuller is the founder of Habitat for Humanity and the founder and president of the Fuller Center for Housing. He also serves on Alternative's Honorary Board of Directors. Discussion questions. 1. What would you have done if you were in Millard's place? 2. Have you ever had unexpected guests at Christmas? How did your family adapt to the situation? 3. Have you ever taken strangers into your home? A Christmas Cow by Walter Wink. Christmas Day had always been a problem. We tried taking turns reading Dickens's A Christmas Carol, but you can guess how that went. We tried singing our way through a Christmas songbook, but it had escaped my notice till then how many really bad singers our family had. Then, inspiration. I remembered receiving a catalog from the Heifer Project that described the various gifts available. So much for a heifer, so much for goats, sheep, chickens, and so forth. I raced to the art store and purchased a large sheet of poster board. Cardboard would have been better, as things turned out. On the poster board, I drew a heifer as best I could, freehand, and then proceeded to draw the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle on the poster board. When I cut the pieces out, I put 4 or 5 pieces in plastic lunch bags for each person there. Everything was now in readiness. On Christmas morning, the family joined in a circle, somewhat mystified. With as much Dickensian aplomb as I could muster, I passed out the bags of jigsaw pieces. With no picture, just a white sheet on a poster board, the family started slowly. To help them a bit, I had used as my bovine model a Holstein. In time, however, the tempo increased, and the job was finished in a frenzy. Then we all sat back, and I began to tell them the story of the heifer, and how the one we had purchased was soon to be traveling to a country far away, not to be slaughtered for food, but to give milk. And not just for one family, but to help feed an entire village. You can contact Heifer Project International at heifer.org for their gift catalog. Discussion questions. 1. Why or why not are you willing to donate to help others through Heifer or our denominational hunger program? 2. Why would it be important to have you and your children donate? What would your children learn from you about the world community? 3. Do you agree with give a person a fish and they eat for a day, teach a person to fish and they eat for a lifetime? Why or why not? 4. What does live simply that others may simply live mean to you? Putting Christ in Christmas by John Hagberg. A common lament of the season is that Christ has been taken out of Christmas. The commercialization, the overindulgence, the busyness of the world are all refrains in this lament. For those who wish to sing another song, there is good news in the fact that Christ was never fully in Christmas. Rather than lamenting those who would take Christ out of Christmas, Christians are called to put Christ into this winter holiday. The fact is that Christmas is a rather late Christian festival. The choice of December 25th as the celebration of Christ's birth was an attempt by the Church to use the images of a pagan midwinter festival, the birthday of the Mithraic Sol Invictus, to celebrate the birth of Christ. As the world began to celebrate the lengthening of the winter days and the return of light in the Northern Hemisphere, the Christian community celebrated the birth of Jesus Christ as the true light of the world. We put Christ in Christmas as we consider the background of Luke's Christmas story. In the context of the oppressive tax policies of the Roman Empire, the Christ child was born not in the center of empire and privilege, but in the lowly town of Bethlehem, among the least of the world. His life, as was his birth, was among the least and lowly, empowering and including them in the blessings of life. We put Christ into Christmas as we work in soup kitchens and bring food to the hungry, as we give the gift of a warm coat or gloves, as we challenge our lawmakers to legislate in ways that include all in the blessings of life. With generous hearts that give gifts that cannot be returned, we can decorate our homes, light our streets, gather in joyous celebrations, and sing of the Christ, whose light pushes back the darkness of our world. 10 ways you can help. 1. Carol for shut-ins. Sing real Christmas carols, not holiday songs. 2. Serve and be served regularly at a local free restaurant, formerly called Soup Kitchen. 3. Donate good used toys. Let the children select the half of their toys that they're ready and willing to share with others. 4. Knit and donate an afghan to a domestic abuse guest house, formerly battered women's shelter. 5. Donate good usable coats to Salvation Army or Gospel Mission. 6. Prepare soup jars of dried ingredients for busy, single, working parents. 7. Distribute coupons for free childcare, formerly babysitting, to busy, single, working parents. 8. Help a neighbor by placing real luminarias, candles and milk jugs and sand in bottom, leading to the door of the house on Christmas Eve and singing Christ is the light of the world. 9. Learn about traditions and foods from the developing world, such as Las Posadas. 10. Learn about groups traveling to a developing country to learn and serve. Consider joining them. Discussion questions. 1. What family tradition do you have that puts Christ at the center of Christmas? 2. What new service tradition would you consider in your celebration? 3. How have you simplified your celebrations? Are you willing to share ideas about simplifying with others, including your extended family?
Christmas Dinner by Jamie Norwich McLernan. I look around the dinner table on Christmas Day and think about how surprising life can be. Laughter floats around the room, and our table is filled with good food prepared by many hands. There is an air of excitement and anticipation as we join our hands to offer thanks. 4 years previously, Christmas dinner was far simpler. My husband and I grabbed snacks and relaxed after the chaos of multiple Christmas Eve services the night before. This year, things are different. Our family has unexpectedly grown, and around our table sits our 20-year-old Tajik daughter, our 19-year-old Korean daughter, and her not-quite-yet-declared 20-something Korean boyfriend. 5 people gather around the table to celebrate this Christmas. 4 are Christian, and 1 is Muslim. The world has come to us and opened us to unexpected possibilities. Outside our doors, newspapers and stores proclaim the Christmas Wars, calling for all to put Christ back in the season. Inside our home, we recognize the increasingly global nature of our world and the diversity of faith in our own country. How do we appropriately greet this day in the midst of this complexity? With love. We reach out and practice loving the world one person at a time, a continual challenge of learning to live out God's love. Those who gather around our table today experience God's love in different ways, and yet each one of us knows that love to be real. That is the true meaning of Christmas. Discussion questions. 1. Do you feel uncomfortable with Christians and Muslims celebrating Christmas together? If so, why? 2. Do you agree that our world can work for peace when we work together as diverse cultures and religions? 3. In the wake of 9/11, are you struggling personally how to relate with the complexity and diversity of culture and beliefs of our Muslim cousins?
Posadas Sin Fronteras, Shelter Without Borders, by Chad Myers and Matthew Caldwell. Few would argue that Christmas has become too commercialized, or that it has deteriorated into a festival of manic consumption, mirroring much of what is most problematic about our economic way of life. The biblical Christmas stories, in contrast, reflect poverty and marginalization. The immigrant couple Joseph and Mary are so poor that they are unable to procure desperately needed lodging. Yet it is their courage in hard circumstances, their sensitivity to dreams and visions, and their willingness to respond to God's call with courageous choices that facilitates the incarnation of God's good news in the world. An opportunity to reenact this biblical story comes each Advent with the Posada Festival, celebrated by Mexican communities in the U.S. and Mexico. The Posada is a nightly ritual of remembrance in which people accompany the Holy Family from house to house around the neighborhood, reenacting the search for shelter. It comes alive among immigrant communities for whom this journey is all too real. Visiting a Posada can be a great way to feel biblical drama and thus reorient our perspective from holiday affluenza to God's solidarity with the poor. In San Diego, California, local churches sponsor a dramatic Posada Sin Fronteras, Shelter Without Borders, at the U.S.-Mexico border, in which participants from both sides reach out their hands to one another and remember the plight of immigrants like Joseph and Mary facing poverty, peril, and persecution today. We have been challenged and transformed by our encounters with contemporary immigrants. We urge you to truly celebrate Christmas by discovering where and whom these too often invisible immigrants are in our own communities and finding meaningful ways of getting to know them and their stories. Or consider participating in an exposure trip to learn more. We recommend the programs run by Borderlinks, www.borderlinks.org, in Tucson, Arizona. May the ongoing struggle of the displaced poor for Posada bring the gospel story alive, and vice versa. Discussion questions. 1. Do you have a Hispanic community in your town? Would you be willing to have them come and talk about and demonstrate Las Posadas? Are you willing to participate in their celebration? 2. How do you imagine your attitude towards immigrants might change or evolve as you experience Las Posadas? 3. Do you have experience with recent immigrants? Are you a recent immigrant? Share these experiences.
You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Number 19. The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to the online edition of Whose Birthday. This year is number 30. It is updated as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding a meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Family activities, rituals, or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we blog each week on a variety of Simple Living subjects. Click on blog in window number 2 at simplelivingworks.org. We hope you'll read and subscribe to the blog. It is the companion to this twice-a-month podcast. The content is different, though the subject is the same, and now our 300-some blog posts have a new index to help you find topics of interest. See the link in the show notes. Also, the blog includes a monthly digest of many links to other Simple Living blogs. Many writers are offering all of us so much help. To receive my daily, brief, free, Simpler Living Nudge, send an email titled Nudge to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. As one of our early and long-standing supporters of alternatives, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, known as ELCA, makes copies of each resource produced by alternatives available by request at a nominal cost. The archive staff can help with your reference inquiries, whether they are genealogical or historical. Feel free to contact them at the office near Chicago. The complete contact information is given in the show notes. Or simply copy and paste items from simplelivingworks.org into paper or electronic publications. Please credit simplelivingworks.org. Time to wrap up this episode of Simpler One Earth Living Podcast. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through the iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast and our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music beginning and ending our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It's so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the 5 life standards of Living More with Less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation, our group. We extend the mission and resource of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The 3 parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We also promote the mission and resources of our colleague organization, Jubilee One Earth Economics. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Simply live, learn to live simply so others can live.